This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:05 at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon. Welcome to Hour 4, the Friday installment of Your Afternoon Drive. The numbers remain 490-5858 and toll-free 800-776-5858. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly stands by to screen your calls. While I joined Skip Echeverria back in the KMJ studio with your Afternoon Drive trending topics at 5 o'clock.
Fresno law officials pressure Sacramento to increase consequences of crime, citing current measures as fueling increased crime rates across the state.
Street racing is not just a Fresno problem, or said police, impounding cars for street racing.
On the same day that Bezos went to space, the FAA changed its rules on what earns someone their wings. Bezos no longer gets that title of astronaut.
The QAnon shaman is in plea negotiations after his team presents a mental health diagnosis, including transient schizophrenia.
The Senate Armed Services Committee has advanced an amendment that would require women to register for the draft.
Child tax credits have started being paid out to families, but for some, might be better to opt out so you don't have to pay it back next tax season.
In response to rising COVID rates in her state, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says it's time to start, quote, blaming the unvaccinated.
An American Airlines agent kicks a woman off of her flight for cursing at a flight attendant, saying, quote, we don't tolerate that crap. Coming up later this hour, we have got the, well, I like it. I think it's the best chat app I've seen come out, possibly since the invention of the iPhone. Best birthday cake ever. Cautionary tales from ladies drinking in Hollywood. And this hour, we start with a really dumb way to get fired. This reporter, Susanna Olin, well, she no longer works for RTL, a German news channel. And the reason that she is no longer with RTL is that while on assignment covering the catastrophic flooding that we saw in Germany last week, she was caught on camera, not RTL's camera, but a passerby's cell phone, smearing herself with mud so as to appear to have been involved in helping the cleanup effort before doing her live shot.
Yeah, that footage was then uploaded to social media, and then your German television station had to explain what was going on. Unfortunately, these floods have been devastating across Europe. At least 173 people in Germany and 32 in Belgium have died in the floods. And that they do fear that the death tolls could be at least 100, well, rise because 176 people are missing in both countries. Okay. We see this, though, with news reporting, right? Like, people will go out to the front lines of whatever the natural disaster is. So the fire, for instance, I mean, there were local news folks that won awards for their coverage of the Creek fire.
Yeah.
Is the line the piece where she dirtied herself up as like kind of a choice of makeup and presentation?
Yeah. Look, the stand-up shot from the scene of the thing is just a part of television news. And how many, I mean, to the point where it's become a trope, it's become a joke. How many times have you had somebody in a rain slicker with a handheld mic and they're holding on for dear life and you can see the floodwaters spreading out behind them and they're talking about the hurricane or the tornado or the whatever's coming through, and then some guy walks through and that terrible flooding is actually ankle deep in a parking lot. I don't have a problem trying to elevate things a little bit to make it interesting. A little bit. and acting as if though you've got to hang on to the street sign to keep from getting blown away while some guy in cutoffs trudges through the scene behind you undisturbed by the unremarkable breeze. It's a funny little busted moment. But you're not really lying. There is a hurricane. There is a tornado. You're not pretending that you're trying to save lives.
Because she could have, and I think that that's the piece of it. In between takes, she could have actually gotten dirty doing stuff. But it was that she could have, right? Yeah. Like she could have helped people. She could have done something. Maybe she was could have been called to do it. But is it that I kind of want to call it that Instagram aesthetic, like doing it for the photo?
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. A reporter going someplace and reporting on a thing and not being engaged because as a journalist, you're simply there to tell the story. Okay. For me, that's a little hard to live my life that way. But I understand that a reporter's there to report, not necessarily to dig through the muck. Don't lie to me and tell me that you're out there trying to help. When I look at it like this. Skip and I have both repeatedly asked you guys donate blood. We've talked about our visits to the blood center. We've talked about the various tchotchkes that come along once you've donated so many times. How many times has Skip now talked about the goodies afterwards and going and getting Little Miss Health Nut over here, going and getting the cookies or the Rosa Brothers ice cream or whatever.
Oh, that little Debbie.
Yeah.
Ooh, it hits harder when you got one pint less blood.
Blood sugar does fun stuff. How betrayed would you feel if it turned out that neither of us had ever donated blood? Like
yeah.
You'd be livid. That whole thing with you lying on the sidewalk after that first donation.
That's actually a very great example. If I'd have just gone out to the blood mobile and laid down on the sidewalk like I was a little lightheaded, mostly because I had medical trauma wrapped up in that, and that was part of my own exposure therapy. That's a side note. But if I'd have faked that, that would have been despicable.
Super icky.
Yeah, that's a good example.
So, however, I assure you, she really did freak out after she donated blood. And now she's better and she goes and she does it and she comes in.
I didn't freak out. I got lightheaded because it happened.
You did good. And you're doing, and now you're not even getting lightheaded afterwards. You're going off and hitting the snack bar and having a good time and bragging about it. And you should, because donating blood makes you morally superior to other people.
Somewhere out there, my blood is floating around in people. You're welcome.
I have a response to that that's right off of Facebook, and I can't say it on the radio.
Yes, but do share it in 5 minutes when we turn the mics off. Do you think this is going to be, for this woman, a career-ending choice? Or do you think that it's one of those things, she gets picked up on another network, she looks back and goes, oh man, was I dumb?
I think that if she is otherwise good at her job, she'll eventually get back on somewhere. She might have to go to a different town, different network, something like that. But eventually she'll get back on. One has but to simply look at our own industry to realize you can do some really just spectacularly stupid things and get back in once everybody's settled down a little bit.
That's a good point. Unless, okay, but I guess time will tell. I wonder if this was just a lapse in judgment, like she meant well, but it was stupid, or if she is one of these chronic posers.
Chronic posers will eventually get caught because you can do this once and it's shame on you. You do it twice, it's shame on me.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, buckaroos?
You'll have to explain that one.
Oh, I will. Just another example of somebody who managed to get back in after seriously shooting themselves in the foot and social media helping to accelerate it. Then we have the other end of the spectrum, a person in genuine distress, another person, Tony the Gardener, desperately trying to actually help somebody who has become unconscious and whose vehicle is out of control. Tony sees this car rolling down the street, a man behind the wheel, out cold, and Tony goes running over and manages to get the car stopped, albeit on a neighbor's lawn, and was able to get help for the driver, calling for family and emergency services to come and get him. But the neighbors, who one would guess saw Tony actually get run over by the car, ran over his foot. He was wearing steel-toed boots, but still. Who saw him grab a car by the fender to try and stop it from rolling further down the street. See that he is finally able to stop the vehicle, albeit on their lawn. And tell him,
brace yourself right now. This is the worst neighbor in the world.
Get off our lawn. Get that man out of here. Have him die somewhere else.
Fortunately, Tony continued to try and attend to this individual instead of going over and kicking that guy's ass like he deserved. But what do you continue to live near that neighbor? This is the guy earlier on in the show you recommended always sending the card, because yes, Tony saved a life.
So the unnamed victim here, it turns out he was having a pretty serious seizure, and Tony probably, if he didn't really literally save his life, definitely spared him some injury and liability. And then you've got, get off our lawn! The man who had the seizure should send Christmas cards to this family. Nothing dirty, nothing rude, nothing crass. Just a reminder, every year, because Santa knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, and he knows if you've been bad or good.
And he
and sending a Christmas card every year is just a reminder. Santa knows, neighbors.
I would put on that Christmas card, sorry about the lawn. Or, there's so many great things you could do. You could even, like, Amazon them some lawn feed.
Yeah.
You know, offer to have the guy that comes around and work, you know, does gardening in the neighborhood to go and mow his lawn. Like, sorry about your lawn. I mean, there's so many ways you could be fantastic about this. I am trying to think if I've ever met a horrible person like that and had to live next to them. So far, I'm good.
I've had a couple of crummy neighbors. I've never had take that man somewhere else to die level crummy. But yeah, Christmas card every year, and every year, a single grass.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059 KMJ.
In 2021, there are lots of ways to date. It's no longer like weird if you met somebody on MySpace. I know somebody who's still married to somebody they met on MySpace.
Oh.
People who met through the singles ads in the old newspapers as well. But these days, it's all about dating apps. And there are dating apps for all kinds of folks. There are dating apps if you're Amish. There are dating apps if you want to find 420 singles. There are dating apps if you're into zombies or furries. But what if you're somebody who likes to live a little wild? A little on the edge? A little dangerously? Huh? You don't meet these people in the bathroom at 1 o'clock in the morning, doing bumps. No, this is a different kind. this is a different kind of living dangerously. And it has to do with the phone that you're going to use to connect to other people that live dangerously.
I love this idea. This is other than the just weird inconvenience of it's not an at will thing. It's perfect. Die with me. The chat app you can only use when you have less than 5% on your battery.
They bill it as die together in a chat room on your way to offline peace. So you download this app and connect with folks. And then you roll the dice on how long that connection's going to last. Like, it's the equivalent of running into somebody at an airport bar or standing behind them at the Starbucks. Like, can you make the connection last in that moment enough to see what else is next?
I feel like this is a great opportunity to workshop one-liners for a stand-up routine.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's a fantastic opportunity to workshop pickup lines.
Yeah, and to practice maybe that awkward initial interaction. Because I've talked about, we were just talking about it with giving blood, right? Like, part of giving blood for me is this exposure therapy. You have to, like, get used to the uncomfortableness of it or all of your mental stuff that's wrapped up in it. It can be desensitizing in a way. And if you're, like, freaked out about the idea of dating or talking to strangers, there could be a little bit of this in here.
I suppose, as just kind of a way to, okay, this is how you set up a conversation.
Non-commitment, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the problem with this is that you can workshop, can I get a laugh out of this? Can I get a punchline out of this? Because it doesn't seem to have any sort of photo or video component, which means that you will never get to know if you got the correct reaction to telling somebody you've never met before that their hair smells different when they're awake.
But they can use emojis. And you can tell a lot about a person by their use of emojis or GIFs, maybe.
Yeah, that they're a child and they shouldn't be trusted.
That is not true. I appreciate solid GIF, meme, or emoji use.
I use a wink emoji when I'm certain that I'm saying something that will be misinterpreted as serious and I'm being facetious. I use a sunglasses emoji as a generic response, a positive generic response to some people. And I use a thumbs up emoji in place of texting the letter K, because I once got yelled at for texting the letter K, so I don't do it anymore.
It's funny you say that, because K is like the text equivalent of, like, screw you. Like, okay, yeah, I heard what you said. But I won't lie that, like, K is positive feedback sometimes from the person who I co-parent from. Like, if I get a K, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's like thumbs up.
Yeah, K, so I acknowledge I have nothing to say that disagrees with you. I received your message.
Oh, see, that's a positive K. So you and him must have that. Whereas in the past, like, if you, this would happen, like, if you get walls of text from somebody, meaning they've just typed you a whole novel and you just want to send back K, that's like a, like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called. You saw it on Facebook Live like that. What is that?
If you're watching Facebook Live, you now know for sure Skip is not Italian. Yeah, I'll tell you later. There's so much ambiguity in how people communicate through text message, and I understand why emojis would be helpful to try and resolve some of that ambiguity. If you send me a wall of text and I respond to you with a monosyllable, I'm trying to reassure you that I care, but I didn't read it. If you send me a wall of text and I don't care about your feelings, I will flat out respond to you with TLDR.
Oh, okay.
And simply require that you either call me to tell me succinctly what it is you want, or that I don't care and I'm not going to read your texts anymore today.
Well, I think TLDR, too long, didn't read, in case you're going, wait a second. Well, but here's the thing about the phone calls. There's a growing movement in the millennial group of, like, don't you dare call me without texting me to tell me you're calling me. Because the calling sometimes, like, no, I don't have time for it. If you're calling me, you're probably dying in my head. Like, you're calling to tell me that something terrible has happened. There's very few people who can just call me without that happening.
Yeah, I'm mostly okay with, because, I mean, look, 90% of all meetings could have been very successfully managed through a single paragraph email. Most single paragraph emails could have been very successfully managed through a 2-minute phone call. And most 2-minute phone calls absolutely could have just been a 1-line text. So I'm very much in favor of just text me what you want and I'll answer you when I feel like it. It doesn't bother me if you call, but if you call and I don't want to talk to you, you're going to get voicemail. Like, I don't feel compelled to answer my phone.
Do you fake it and let it ring a little bit? Or do you just set decline?
That's interesting. That's a good question. Because I'll just let it ring out.
Okay.
Because I don't want you to know that I looked at the phone
okay.
and went, oh, this idiot.
Okay.
And then went back to what I was doing. And I can tap my volume button to mute my ringer without actually sending you to voicemail.
Yeah.
But I can also hit a button to just send you straight to voicemail. If I ever send you to voicemail, I take that back. There's two possibilities. If I send you to voicemail, I'm on a call and you're interrupting my train of thought and I got mad and hit the button because I'm trying to talk to somebody. Or I actually don't want to talk to you and I'm irritated with you.
Okay. So
if I go that far, it's one way or another, I'm probably not going to be nice when I call you back.
So let's go going back to Die With Me, the app, the chat app you can only use when you have less than 5% battery. Let's find out what kind of person you are. What is your phone battery life at right now? Now, the minute I get up in the morning on my phone, I put it in low battery mode. That's something I do just to...
You have so much anxiety.
I do. And I carry a charger with me and a cable.
As of right now, hang on, I got to find the thing.
Yeah, because my kids are notorious for running their phones out. I don't know how to read that.
Upper corner.
86%. Wow, you must not interact on your phone much.
Constantly.
Okay.
But I have a Pixel.
Oh, and they're a little better. I'm at 51%.
It's making you nervous, isn't it? You've got 30 minutes left in your workday.
Oh, no, I'll be fine because I'm in low power mode.
Oh, okay.
And I got up this morning and like ran and have been on it and using it and stuff. So that's good. And I try not to like always charge it. Like if I go through a full charge in a day, that tells me I've been on my phone too much.
Okay.
So, yeah. But if I'm in the 30%, I'm starting to panic.
Okay. You know what I do when my phone runs out of battery?
Plug it in.
No, I'll deal with it later. I don't care. If there are three people in the entire world that have cause to be able to reach me at any hour. I take that back, four, because my son doesn't live at home anymore.
By the way, Jared just said his phone's at 10% and I just yelled, Jared, no, on Facebook Live.
Every person who needs to reach me needs to reach me, and who has the significance in my world to be allowed to reach me at any time either has my landline or my wife's number.
Yeah.
And everybody else in the world, if my phone dies, sorry, my phone died.
So
I got a life.
Well, and again, that's probably why you wouldn't find yourself on Die With Me. But I just look. If you want to stay away from flaky people who don't have their act together, but you can't figure out why you keep dating the same kind of people, do not go to Die With Me and meet them there.
No, go to Chat Roulette.
Oh, I think I've heard of that one.
A lot of squirrels on Chat Roulette.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
5:37 at KMJ, and as it is a Friday afternoon, phones are closed. Next opportunity to Get on the Blower. We'll be with the great one, Mark Levin, coming up after the news at 6 o'clock. The 10th studio album. 10th. Somehow this person has managed to fool people into buying 10 albums. Kanye West, his release party
was
today.
Graduate was so good. College Dropout and Graduate, I think those were the, that was the order. Anyway.
Is there any track on that, if there's any chance I would know?
Gold Digger, which was actually, it was almost, what do they call it, prophetic? Like a prophecy of what he ended up with. But anyway.
Except that Kim's richer than him.
Yeah, but just the whole story. You'll like it. But Okay. Anyway.
Okay, I do remember that track. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing from Kanye West that I'm going to know as a middle-aged white guy who doesn't really listen to hip-hop.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of others, but off the top, he did one with Katy Perry that you probably would remember. Okay. Stronger was good. But yeah, I mean, not your cup of tea. I get it.
Yeah, no, not to say that I have no use for the entire genre, but Kanye West ain't my cup of tea, to be sure. However, he did release his 10th studio album today with an event in Atlanta where 46,000 people came together to hear the album for the first time while Kanye West walked around the floor of the stadium, occasionally gesturing, occasionally bowing, though he didn't say a word, he didn't perform a single live track, and when the album concluded, he left.
This happened for 48 minutes, and he showed up late, which is great.
Yeah.
So I've been to one album listening party type thing before with a band where the band showed up, because sometimes they would do this. It's a marketing ploy that radio stations would use right back in the day.
Yeah.
And now you can do it with something like Apple Music and probably sell tickets to it, and a lot of tickets, and especially because COVID, people had nothing else to go to. Here you go. It's an awkward thing. I mean, at that one, at least a couple members of the band said hello to people afterwards, took some pictures, and it was more intimate. I think it might have been 20 or 40. This is so weird, but it's right in line with him being a little weird.
Yeah, I guess that you've got, okay, well, I got to hear the album, and the guy showed up and waved.
Yeah, like, I saw Kanye on stage. Okay. And I guess this would be one of those situations where I can't believe 42,000 people showed up, but that they, you know, that he's that compelling. I think maybe because of his weirdness. I mean, he was a presidential candidate.
Oh, stop. No, he wasn't.
But I mean,
no. He was a guy who paid a filing fee in like two jurisdictions.
He's a successful designer. So I guess some people just want to be, desire that like badly to be next to whatever they feel is greatness.
I suppose so. Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I go to concerts.
But this isn't a concert.
Isn't a concert.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, you know, as far as going and hearing a new track from an artist that I like, there's a couple that I might show up like, to a record release party at, you know, I guess Tower doesn't exist anymore, Rasputin's, and hang out and, you know, shake hands and hear the album. But I would expect something, a hello, a thank you, hey, the autograph table's over here.
Right, and maybe a lot of people showed up just to see, just knowing that he would do something weird.
Is that part of the game here? Is because obviously that's his marketing strategy. Kanye's such a freaky genius that he can get 42,000 people to watch him stand around listening to his own music.
That's what I'm tending to like lean towards. Plus, was there like anything else going on that day? And they just, you know, hey, come and see Kanye, and nobody knows like what that really means. I mean, he put out the. Apple Music put out the, you know, like little flyer, if you will, digital flyer, live listening event from Atlanta.
The link.
Yeah. But I mean, I just, dude, it's almost 6 o'clock on a Friday and it's been a long week, but, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I guess you just wander in. You're like, oh, let's check it out and see what it is. I just hope this isn't like a new thing that artists start doing. Like, come listen to the album. What if it is? What if this is like a new thing that people, they just pick one big city, one big stadium, show up for the listening event. You're around other fans that are of like mind. And this is like the new thing people do.
See, I cannot imagine this being the way to do it. Now, if you wanted to do a live listen event, hey, we got the new album from whoever, and we got the band together, and we're going to live stream the new album, and we're going to spend about 2 minutes talking about each track after each track, so you can hear the whole album, you can hear the band give you a couple of quick stories, and it'll cost you, you know, $5 to check in to be a part of that. That'd be cool with a band that's got a story to tell. It would be a waste of 20 minutes of your life if it was Joe Perry. Yes, that's right. I'm still mad about it. It's a dreadful interview. But I can't, no, I'm not going to a stadium with 42,000 people to watch the guy walk around while his album plays.
Well, and I think it's an interesting thing to see with him. Like, is this his bizarre behavior that's associated with some of his bipolar disorder, or is this Kanye, the artist, doing some sort of performance art through not really performing? Like, it's getting super meta.
Here's my problem with geniuses in performance art. If nobody gets it, it's not art. You didn't communicate anything. Therefore, it's not genius. Just being weird is not in and of itself virtuous or artistic. And I think that West is, first of all, I think he's a weird guy, but that doesn't make him bad. It's okay. You can be weird, be creative, be weird, do your thing. But I think that he is marketing to people who have kind of bought into this, oh, Kanye's a genius. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's just a weird cat who happens to be really good at putting together music.
Well, and
because what do we communicate here?
Well, and I wonder if some of this is that exploitative, like, let's see if he's going to do some weird things up on stage. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. Somebody had asked online if people paid for it, and I can't find anything online to see if they paid or if it was like a just a publicity stunt or whatnot. Yeah. If so, you know, because Apple has enough music, Apple may be trying to figure out ways to tie people in or increase their subscriptions or whatever that is. This may have just been a the latest version of a promo type thing. I'm not sure. Dave points out a relevant point. He says, Zeppelin could pull it off. The Beatles could have pulled it off. Michael Jackson could have. Prince would have. Not that any of them would, but he's not sold so much on Kanye. Kanye pulled it off. I mean, he did it, but whether or not it was successful or whatnot, I don't know.
Well, the album's going to sell. The circus around this clown is strong enough. The album's going to sell. But yeah, you never would have seen Led Zeppelin do this. If you tried to pitch this to Robert Plant, hey, we're just going to have you go to the stadium and walk around while the album plays. The guy literally would not have been able to understand what you were saying. Okay, and then we're going to sign autographs. We're going to go up and play a few tracks. We're going to wave to the crowd. No, you're just going to walk around the room. I'm sorry, what?
I compare it to sometimes, like, if you talk about, like, the meet and greet stuff that, you know, you've talked about, if you buy the right, you know, with all these VIP things, sometimes you can buy a meet and greet, but back in the day, you had to know somebody or win it or whatnot. There would be different levels. There might be, like, they come in and they take one group picture and say hello. Yeah. And then leave. versus, you know, standing and taking individual pictures or signing things or whatnot. I think it's just like an interesting new development in the marketing of music or products. I saw a meet and greet for like a famous TikToker that was happening online.
Yeah.
She's got this little like shtick that she does. She's funny. I think she's funny. But she booked a gig and had her name up on the, what's it called? The
bill, Marquee.
The Marquee, thank you. Friday, again, losing my words. And people paid for, it's true. It's the end of the week. You feel me? I've been talking all week long for both jobs and parenting. I'm tired. Anyway, the point being, like, people will pay for that kind of stuff. If they're into it, they'll do it.
Guys, I don't want to be famous. This is as far as this nonsense is going. When this job's over, I'm just done. I'm going to retire and sit by the pool and day drink. I have no desire to ever be whatever it is these people are. But I promise, if through some freak accident I get to a point on the food chain where there's some PR person trying to get me to go out and do this stuff, I will never do this. I will never do this.
Oh, is this where I tell you we start our afternoon drive, meet and eats or something, where we go out and...
No.
No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that.
I'll never do this.
We just go out on a stage and stand there.
Oh, my God. I just...
In all
give me money to be in my presence.
In all seriousness, there might be people that would pay money for us to be quiet.
I'm sure there are. I've told it. The people that hate me, I've told you, get a GoFundMe going. At this point, the number's down to four. 4 million.
Really? Give me $4 million.
Yeah.
Oh.
Things went well with real estate this year.
So as you're heading off into your weekend, sometimes we like to use this opportunity, the last break of our show, the afternoon drive. And if you missed any of it, you can get the podcast at kmjnow.com to say, make good choices this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, drive safely. Be mindful of, what's going on around you. If you're going to have a birthday party, Maybe use premium ingredients in your cake.
I am a fan of cake.
How about a 4-pound cake?
Is it chocolate?
It is. It is not. A man from New York, a woman from Maine were stopped after police received a tip that resulted in these folks getting pulled over and a drug-sniffing dog being brought out to the car. And the dog was super interested in the birthday cake. Heavy birthday cake.
Look, the dog probably saw it was like one of those all-American chocolate cakes that come with like 3 pounds of frosting, and they're not allowed to have chocolate.
Actually, through the miracle of modern technology, we have the dog's interior monologue the moment that he smells the cake.
Okay.
No.
Give me some.
Two kilograms of cocaine worth $200,000. And they thought covering it in a little bit of frosting and some coffee grounds was going to keep that puppy from smelling four pounds of the yayo.
Well, I've never heard of a Coke cake. So I have heard of cakes made with Coke or 7-Up. But that's a whole different thing. Those are actually delicious.
So the drugs were apparently supposed to be distributed in Kennebec and Somerset counties. However, they took the now 2 pounds of cocaine, and the couple have since bailed out.
I'd have been so mad if I was expecting cake and there was cocaine.
Oh, my God. Best birthday ever.
Oh, no. I'd have been so angry.
We
what
gotta
is
go.
This?
Happiness. We gotta go. We really gotta go. The great one, Mark Levin, rolls up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, you'll hear from our friends at the Valley's Legends and Legacies. Thank you for your calls, your messages, and your time. We will talk to you guys Monday afternoon when we try again at 2 o'clock.
Bye.